This is the WHTC Morning News with Gary Stevens and Peg McNichol on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Welcome back to the WHTC Morning News for this Thursday, December the 2nd. Thursday mornings, we have a chance to catch up with what's going on in Washington with U.S. House Representative Bill Huizinga of Zeeland. He joins us via the phone line this morning. And let's begin first with some concerns that, well, let's put it this way. The federal government is facing a partial shutdown at midnight on Friday unless Congress approves funding. Bill, good morning. And do you see, you know, do you see a showdown coming, or do you think we're going to have a continuing resolution?
Funny you should ask that, Gary. I was on the phone with Natalie about 10 minutes ago, and she was asking me the exact same question, whether I was going to make it home this weekend. So my suspicion is yes. In an unusual move, the House went into session at 8 o'clock this morning. And they need to do that so that they can get some of the business of the House done regarding this exact issue with the continuing resolution. Unfortunately, very little progress has been made on that. And as you pointed out, I mean that we had this December 3 deadline where the technically, government runs out of spending authority to be able to move on. So I suspect that there will be another short term. I would like to see it a little longer, put it further into next year. I don't think that's going to happen. It's probably going to be another, you know, 1 week or maybe 2 weeks. We seem to be doing this every year. And I think last year we went until late on December 22, and I was able to fly home on the 23rd. So how to explain this place is just impossible sometimes. The best thing it does is kick the can down the road, and it's under all administrations and lots of different leadership styles, but it is it's awfully frustrating for everybody because this kind of unpredictability is not good. It's not good for whether it is building roads or running the Defense Department or healthcare or any of those things. It just that lack of continuity is very, very frustrating.
And it it does cause some concerns, especially we get calls. You know, will my Social Security payment will my check come in the mail, or will my check be deposited? That's a concern to a lot of people.
Yeah, and let me give a little reassurance on that, especially Social Security, but a number of other functions of government have been deemed to be quote essential, right? And that means they will not stop or cease. So you'll still see the mail. You'll still see TSA as people are trying to travel, for example. You will still see your Social Security check and those types of payments. It's more along the lines of what does the Department of Defense do with training dollars? What does the EPA do? What does Department of Transportation do? You know, they have to cease projects temporarily. And sadly, we've gotten very used to and good at dealing with this. I just wish we didn't have to. But everybody's, those critical services like Social Security, those do continue no matter what.
At times, we like to ask Bill Huizinga some foreign affairs questions. He had been working under then. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Pete Hoekstra during, literally 20 years ago now. Eesh. Dare I say that?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. 9/11 was 20 years ago. And then people forget about the anthrax shutdown that happened mm-hmm. 1 month afterwards. And obviously, all of the things that have gone on since the global war on terror has has really kicked into a higher gear. You have to have a working knowledge about what's going on international affairs, I think.
And the reason why I'm bringing that up is the fact that Russia is telling some U.S. Embassy staff members to leave Moscow. State News says the Russian Foreign Ministry ordered U.S. Embassy staff who have been in Moscow for over 3 years to leave by January 31st. It sounds like the CCCP is coming back into action a little bit. This has a little Soviet tinge to it than just Russia.
Oh, totally. This is another authoritarian regime. And look, quite honestly, the Biden administration's been weak on China, and it's been weak on Russia. And you look at what's happening with Russia and the massing of troops that they now continue to have on the border with Ukraine, on top of having occupied part of Ukraine, the threats that they have to Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, that's been an ongoing problem. They continue to threaten this, and there's this. If people ought to take a look at a map and look for Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad is this little carved off piece on the ocean, right near Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, right in that area, but it's separate from Mother Russia, right? But it is part of Russia. And Russia claims that they have the right to go through, I believe it's Estonia, to get to Kaliningrad. And obviously, and they have been very, very threatening over this for years. I mean, they park submarines. That's where one of their main submarine bases is. And you look at them as a player on the world stage, and they have been a bad actor for many, many years. But it's gotten worse over this past year. And it is something that we have to take very seriously. We now have Anthony Blinken, Secretary Blinken, seemingly trying to talk tough, but frankly, actions speak louder than words. And, you know, here's the real nexus with where my committee work comes in, Gary, on all these issues. The vast majority of sanctions run through our Financial Services Committee because most of it's tied to banking, right? And how money and funding flows around the world. And it is still primarily through U.S. banking systems, and then we have a nexus to that. So I think we ought to be tougher on China and tougher on Russia with our sanctions. That is something that should be a real tool that gets used as we're seeing them continue to just be the bullies on the world stage.
One final thing, speaking about your role on the House Financial Services Committee, December 8th, top crypto firm executive set to testify, focusing on getting a grasp around the challenges and benefits of financial innovation in the U.S. About time we start looking at this crypto world that many people say is the future of investing.
Yeah, we've actually been doing this for a few years, and it has really sort of risen, obviously, in the general public's attention. Not just with Bitcoin, but with Ethereum and a number of other, these stores of value. And can't call them cryptocurrencies so much anymore as we call them crypto assets. And there's a group of us that is primarily financial services, but we've pulled in some other members from different committees that have some of the security side of this and some other expertise. And we've got a working group that about 2 weeks ago we put out a principles statement about what we think as our own Federal Reserve is looking at digitizing our currency and what that's going to mean. You know, the Chinese have already done this. A number of other countries are looking at doing it as well. And we have to make sure that we've got some clear lines how we are going to do this. How are we going to maintain the U.S. dollar as the preeminent currency in the world, that we call it the reserve currency, which most all other currencies are based off of. How do we make sure that people's privacy and security is kept safe? And basically, can we make those transactions be private rather than having it all flow through the federal government? And that's the difference. Like China, for example, China has all of those bank accounts now linked into their control. So they can literally turn people's bank accounts on and off, whether they can use those dollars, or in China the renminbi, whether they can use that currency as they're going in to go shopping, or as they're trying to pay rent or do those types of things. And that is something that we absolutely have to avoid. We cannot have the U.S. government be in charge of our actual bank accounts and the flow of that. And we have to have that privacy maintained, not only from the government, but also in private transactions, so you don't have a particular company that is gathering all of that information, or can gather that and use that in a proprietary way, looking at you, Facebook. You know, those types of things are some very serious issues that we have to look at. And frankly, Gary, people are very divided. This does not go along party lines. This does not go along some of the more traditional thoughts that we would have on differences of opinion on these kinds of things. The chairman of my subcommittee, a guy named Brad Sherman out of California, has been very, very outspoken against any kind of cryptocurrency usage of any kind. Yet some of the most conservative members of our committee have been very positive on the use of this, you know, and so it kind of confuses a lot of the tech people, right, who tend to be liberal and they tend to be, Democrats and out of Silicon Valley and those kinds of places. And they're like, wait a minute, so the Democrats are opposed to this, the Republicans are in favor of it, or at least some of them. And then you go to a different committee and they've got a completely different view. So it's really something that we have to work through. It's the realities, I think, of the future of what's going on. And as we're looking at the inflation that's hitting right now, and it's real. We had Jerome Powell and Secretary Yellen in front of our committee yesterday. Inflation is real. We have to look at how people can have safety and security and confidence in the assets that they are building up. And crypto is going to be one of those ways, but we need to make sure we're careful about how we move forward on it.
He is Congressman Bill Heisinger, joins us Thursday mornings to talk about things going on in Washington. Bill, hope all goes well over the next few days.
Gary, I've got breaking news. Literally, I just got a text.
Yes, go ahead.
A bill reached on a continuing resolution till February 18.
February 18?
So, that's good news and will be helpful for the country.
Yeah, as you just mentioned, real quick. You know, you want to see a continuing resolution, at least get us through the holiday season, and then the pressure really comes on. And I'm going to run this a little long. I recall, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we had a government shutdown. It was in January. And I think the pressure was put on by the taxpayers who were saying, hey, wait a minute, if I'm not going to get my tax return because there's a government shutdown, solve the problem. If this resolution gets into February, that's tax return time.
Yeah, so hopefully this will help and be able to allow some planning in between House leadership and Senate leadership as they're moving forward. So that's a good thing. And while we're on the IRS and we're going a little long anyway, sadly, I wasn't able to ask Janet Yellen about this, but people need to understand that the IRS has stopped, not the IRS, but the Taxpayer Advocate Services, it's called TAS, is supposed to go in and be an advocate within the IRS for people that have put in amended tax returns. So which is very, very usual. Oftentimes you'll have people go in and say, oh, hey, I figured out that I actually owe a little more money or I get some money back yet from the federal government. And the federal government, the IRS, is so far behind, they've stopped accepting these things. And so it's been very frustrating for my caseworkers, the folks that we're trying to help our constituents. And we've got to make sure that we're getting funding. That's the kind of thing, when this funding falters, that's the kind of thing that falls against by the wayside. But in the meantime, we're passing billions and billions and billions of dollars of new spending. We need to make sure that that spending just doesn't go into IRS enforcement agents, but that we actually get advocate agents in there that are trying to be fair with taxpayers' dollars. So But so, yeah, there we go. Got some news.
Appreciate that. And don't mind running long if we have something that comes along those lines. Bill, I'll try it again. Hope you and everybody in Washington get their jobs done, get home for the weekend. And if all goes well, let's talk again next week. Thank you, sir.
Amen, and sounds good. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, Bill Heisinger, 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.